Hello, this is James Grevig with Unrestricted Warfare. Yes, we are in definitely the unrestricted warfare era right now on decentralized.media. Taiwan had a major earthquake, 7.4 yesterday. But is that really the story? Was it a natural event or something else? Well, let's look at three videos first and then have our guest, Sasha Stone, the great Sasha Stone, weigh in and get into this. Next video. Go swimming in this pool. And then this cascade of water coming off a high rise in Taipei. Sasha, that's one way to empty the pool. How are you doing today?
Indeed, I was just thinking the same thing. I'm good, James. It's good to see you. And I'm not surprised at seeing these kinds of optics emerging. Let's cut to the chase. Taiwan is one of the most geostrategic nodes on the planet right now for a whole host of different reasons. Yep. It's a small surprises that we're seeing this kind of what I would say is orchestrated apocalypse unfolding.
I completely agree with you. In fact, we'll get into that in a moment on the PowerPoint deck in which I'll introduce you, but we'll go through a couple talking points first before we get into your great background and all the work you've done over the years. Eclipse, start unveils the plan. What's the plan? Sasha and I will talk about it. You know where to find me, Unrestricted Warfare. Decentralized Media is going to launch very shortly. So here's something interesting. We had a magnitude 7.4. It's right in the southern part of Taiwan, and miraculously well-timed, 99 Chinese warships and 30 aircraft suddenly appear right after the earthquake. And it was like, to your point, was this kind of planned? Was this kind of orchestrated? And was it HAARP? Go ahead, Sasha, weigh in.
I'm not one that's actually paying too much attention to the shit show that's being orchestrated, James. A few months ago, I advised my own networks that I was beginning to withdraw my attention from the checkerboard of the kingdom of the devil, as I put it,
yep.
because I would suggest that 85, 90% of that checkerboard is entirely unnatural and is an orchestration of Babylonian Mysterium cult optics. I mean, these buggers have been doing this for thousands of years. This goes back to cult of Isis and Sekhmet and, thousands and thousands of years ago. Go back to the pre-Sumerian, the god kings. And, this is a theater. This world is a theater. It's only ever been a theater. It's a confluence of galactic hybridization. It is galactic wars playing out at the micro level. The geoengineering and bioengineering and transhumanism is not something that's new. We like to think it is. But it's not. They're just different toys, different timelines. So I personally determined to withdraw attention from the optics because I just see it as being another dance on the checkerboard. And I think that we're coming to such an incredible axiomatic moment in our end of history that we can now determine the outcome by placing our attention on the kingdom of heaven and on anchoring patterns of perfection into this mortal realm. So I've alchemized my own kind of social political mind. I'm encouraging many people to do the same. But so long as we are looking at images like this, don't expect them to end anytime soon. They're happening every minute, every hour, every day, every week, and they're going to amp up almost certainly between now and 2027, 2028. I think The biggest geoseismic event is likely to happen 2027. It seems to be when you apply a certain mathematical formula against the events unfolding over recent generations and then decades and then years and then months. If you see that, you can start to see that there is a kind of a flat line that's likely to occur between 27 and 2028. These little images here are perfectly situated within the globalist agenda. Why? Yep. Because they ensure and enforce fear. Fear of nature, fear of the weather, fear of the unknown, fear of the cosmos, fear of extraterrestrials, fear of everything, so that we abdicate and abnegate our soul sovereignty, our consciousness in action, and we do the bidding of the devil. When the devil tells us, whether he's wearing a red hat or a blue hat, the devil assuredly controls that checkerboard. It's my contention, James, that this is just another bit part in the theater that's about to unfold. It's going to get a whole lot scarier. When you look at the images of massive floods in the United Arab Emirates,
yep,
and Saudi Arabia, those kinds of things, again, we're seeing orchestrated helter-skelter. This is the Babylonian Illuminati preferred game, which is to take everything, flip it upside down. It's why they sodomize babies, to try and flip the kundalini, the life force, the prana of that child, and then be able to commandeer that life force as a utility to manifest a certain kind of reality. I think it's very dangerous when millions of us place our attention on this checkerboard and allow ourselves to be steered. What we need to do is say, there we go, same old, this is what my tax dollars equate to. If I take the knee to Caesar and render unto Caesar what he says is his, this is what he does. He buys planes, trains, automobiles, munitions, grows war, disease, and poverty, and I end up being mind-fucked by that checkerboard. It's a choice.
I am with you 100%. So is the Chinese migrants north of the border. It's all part of the fear porn, all part of the game. I'm completely with you on that. Nothing new under the sun, as the Bible calls. What I do find interesting is the timing of the cicada apocalypse. I wouldn't call it apocalypse, but I would call it the cicadas. And there's two different broods, one 13 years, one 17 years, related to that blue line, which is going to be the path of the eclipse next Monday on the 8th. And I find that all interesting. And when you take the 99th day of the year, which is April 8th, because of the leap year, when you enter that into gematria, you end up with Noah. So are we in the times of Noah, Sasha?
We are most assuredly. There is no question about that. It is a play out. It's a repercussion. It's an echo at the end of time that we're witnessing. That's why prophecy has been able to scry these event horizons. It's part of, again, a kind of hyperdimensional dominoes that if you are in a still point or a grace point, which good witches in Bulgaria and crystal gazers in Nepal and Nostradamus, people like that are able to enter that grace point, actually shut the fuck up, look within, and see the repercussion and the domino effect that actually plays out in this time loop. So it's not actually that clever. It's written into the psionic consciousness and intelligence of every good human being. Meaning to say what? Meaning to say that middle American people, farmers, veterans, grandmothers alike, are variously and have variously been tapping into that emergent wave of prophecy for many generations now. We all knew this was coming down. We all know that revelation slash rapture is upon us. So when you look at the cicadas here, and I'm familiar with this particular storyline, and it's a particularly cynical one. The trajectory of the 2017 Salem line and the trajectory of the 2024 Nineveh line, you know, marking the Alpha Omega signature of God onto North America, which is what these two total eclipse trajectories represent, that is written large in the Bible. It is what it is. And I don't think you need to be a prophet or a scryer any longer to see prophecy, because it's unfurling in technicolor.
It really is, including the digital cash and all this. This is just interesting that suddenly 6 months ago, the NSA actually created Bitcoin and the prototype of Bitcoin, and it created 1996, and I got the 32-page brief, so it's not the 9-page Satoshi Nakamoto, but this is probably the black hats at the NSA and not the white hats. So would you ever trust Bitcoin and everything that we've learned over the last 25 years?
Yes and no in equal measure. Six of one and half a dozen of the other. Again, it's going to depend where we place our attention. You and I and a fellowship of good actualized human beings can commandeer reality anytime we choose. But that has to be a collective choice. There has to be a morphogenetic upshift, so to speak, where we actually take back real reality from the fictitious reality. So to answer the question here, the NSA created Bitcoin, yes and no. Vladimir Putin behind Bitcoin, yes and no. The Al-Hashemi clan of the Middle East, the overarching clan that controls the legacy and the program and the rollout of all of the royal houses of North Africa and the Middle East and the Islamic traditions. That's the real power behind Bitcoin, the real power behind the petrodollar, but no one knows about it. So I've had communications with a hierarchy in the Al-Hashemi clan who've educated me and mentored me into this years ago. So, you know, what do we think? We think we know about the CIA. We know very little. We think we know about the NSA. We know very little. We think we know about Vladimir Putin and his emergence through the ranks of the KGB. We know very little. You know, again, James, it's where we place our attention. Right now, I would suggest that Bitcoin is the root or the source code of the so-called crypto space, as people would have it. I foundationally don't trust anything that is cryptographed. Why would you trust anything that by its definition of its own nature remains hidden and veiled?
Hidden and veiled is a great word, because we're in the great unveiling period, as you said, with Revelation, the apocalypse, what it means. So I'm with you. And it sort of acts like a fractional reserve, because you could split a Bitcoin infinitely. So it's sort of like, in a way, acts like fiat to a degree.
It does act like fiat, but at least it's something which, to some extent, is out of the containment of the central command and control, or is it? Question mark. So that raises the question, why are we playing casino economics in the first place? That is the foundation or the cornerstone of a parasite economy. We want to exit a parasite economy. We don't want an inflationary economics model, a pyramidal model under any circumstances. We've proven that out of thousands and thousands of years of blood cult. It's over. Imperial dominion, pyramid schemes, invisible masters, all of that shit show, we have to exit it. But again, it's a choice. I would suggest that the real economy, the real store of value and measure of value, as I've been saying for at least a decade now, is land, arable land with primary water in the custodianship of a fellowship of good men and women of the living soil. Now, if you can find that, then you should put all of your assets, all of your resources, all of your money into something tangible and real. That's food, that's water, that's land, that's fellowship. And then all the rest of it comes with it. So I'm certainly focused on that. I'm building out the New Earth Sanctuary here in Mexico. I'm about to announce on the 7th or 8th of May or 9th of May at the latest. I'm making a very big announcement in the heartland of the United States, and I'm very, very excited about it. But, you know, we're looking to reclaiming the soil, returning land to the patent rights of the natives, and engendering the fellowship of men and beginning to anchor the kingdom of heaven to the sacred soil. That's where we should be placing our attention. And that's the point I'm trying to make here, James. I think we're too much of us are placing attention and focus on things like Bitcoin, Ethereum, all these crypto ideas, which are great, but they're kind of a psycho-intellectual stepping stone toward sovereignty. How about we just become sovereign and no longer invest or divest our value into things that we foundationally do not have control over and never will have control over?
I'm with you on sovereignty all the way. So the last one, as you said, right, Babylon, we've been on their checkerboard for centuries and millennia. So here we have Project Bluebeam, which might be used in a scare event, alien invasion, or scare event itself. But we have the prototype in The Wizard of Oz, 1939. Right. It was a movie. Everything's about these mystery school tricks from Babylon. Anything you'd like to add here, Sasha?
Well, I mean, I've studied Project Bluebeam, obviously, and I understand where it's headed, and it's already very much in play. So there's no question about that in my mind. I've studied hundreds of clips taken from social media feeds from people's telephones. And, you know, the more you see, the more it's difficult to divine. What are we looking at? Are we looking at the signs in the sky that have some real meaning? Or are these all, again, the orchestrations of deep state Mil-tel fun and shits and giggles. I suspect that what we're seeing now and what we're going to start seeing happen incrementally on the rise is a collective V2K technology, which is voice to skull.
They're already probably got the technology in place.
A couple of hundred Palestinians woke up overnight claiming to have seen Jesus in their vision. So the following day, they all converted to Christianity. Ah, isn't that lovely? So the stupid Christian stands up in a throng and goes, hallelujah, this is a sign of God. No, it's not. It's a sign of George Soros, you idiot. So V2K technology being beamed into hundreds of Palestinians is a classic Mil-tel psyop. And it's not difficult. They perfected that science generations ago. I've personally sat through dozens of hours of expert testimony in the International Tribunal's Judicial Commission into Human Trafficking, where we've taken the testimony of countless veterans and nuns and people like that, who are very controlled demographics, who over the last 25, 30 odd years have suffered at the hands of these experiments by the Mil-tel operations, which is voice-to-skull technology. So you can start to see holy war jihad being beamed into the minds and the bedrooms of sleeping fanatical Muslims all around the world. You can see the same thing happening in the Christian world and in all the different faiths. You're going to start to see those kind of games being played out again using V2K. V2K is kind of a stepping stone to Project Bluebeam. When they start broadcasting, as we know they've been able to do for at least 20 years, broadcasting airplanes crashing into buildings, for instance. So that kind of holographic beaming capability is an exact science. We've had that for a very long time. And there's also a reason here, James, why our governments at that level, let's say compartmentalized elements within our governments, have been in a collusion exercise for at least 30 years, by my reckoning, of infiltrating even jet-grade fuel with a commercial jet-grade fuel with certain metal particulates and chemical compounds. Why? In order to begin seeding the atmosphere with those particulates over the last few decades, so that the entire atmosphere is seeded now with trillions to the power of trillions to the power of trillions of these nanoparticulates, which are now playing a material function in broadcasting holographs into the sky.
Yep, you're right about that. They do need that movie screen to do it. So let's show where people can find your work. And I'm going to read your brief bio in a moment. But people, you can go to YouTube at Sasha Stone, Facebook.com, Sasha.Stone.7, Instagram, Sasha Stone Official, and on Twitter X, it's at Sasha Stone. Now, let me read his brief bio while the audience takes notes. Former rock musician and artist Sasha Stone grew up in Rhodesia, Zimbabwe, throughout the war for independence. An outspoken advocate of human rights and natural justice, he has instigated peace initiatives, education programs, lobbied against human rights, or lobbied for human rights, abuses around the globe, and prosecutes for the protection of vanguard innovators, scientists, and doctors. Sasha founded the New Earth Project, an evolving blueprint for sustainable, sovereign and self-determining communities, headquartered out of the world-renowned Akasca New Earth Haven in Bali. Very interesting. You go to www.newearthhorizon.com. Sasha is founder of the International Tribunal for Natural Justice, which launched under international observership in 2018. It launched a judicial commission for the inquiry into human trafficking and child sex abuse at Westminster Center Hall in London. That is incredible, Sasha. You were ahead of everyone waking up to the human trafficking issue of the last 3 years. That is really hats off to you, seriously.
Well, thank you. And I really appreciate those words, because I've taken enough rocks at the head, and I still sit bemused on a daily basis about why I'm so hated and so vaunted by so many ugly and low frequency people. I mean, yeah, I was ahead of the game for sure. I was on it well over 10 years ago. Well, 2015, I inaugurated the ceremonial seating of the International Tribunal. But trust me, it took about 3 years of intense work and planning and, navel gazing before I was able to constitute a court And I got involved in all sorts of nasty and very dangerous skirmishes in the process of establishing the International Tribunal. And then that led to a series of judicial commissions of inquiry. The most recent one, of course, was the weaponization of the biosphere, which we did in 2019, auguring COVID, you know, with Del Bigtree and yep. A number of leading lights in frontline advocacy for health sovereignty and what have you. And we were urging and warning the world to be incredibly mindful of how we were abdicating our civil liberties and rights to such an extent that our DNA and mRNA was really up for grabs. And lo and behold, boom, 20 weeks later, COVID hits. And we were screeching about the vaccine program as well in June of 2019. So not even 6 months before. And there you have it. But it's not that difficult to be prescient and to be aware and be able to see around corners when all you do 8 days a week is keep your finger on that pulse and stand in the flame of pure truth and learn how to navigate the deception and the Luciferian false light matrix. So when you read strap lines or headlines in newspapers or billboards or magazine covers in airports or wherever you gather your information from, I don't look at newspapers. I've not looked at a television screen for 20 years, and I've not read a newspaper for at least 20 years. So yep. I would never do that. And I don't even go online and trawl through headlines. I just don't need to. I've got my finger to the wind. I'm connected to my God. My Alpha Omega is intact. My life force is stupendous. I have limitless energy. I am protected by a guardianship of angelics. I am the living man of the living soil. And I know that in the field of consciousness, so to speak, pure truth broadcasts the highest frequency. So if you are in a grace point, again, as a good human, you'll pick up generally the gestalt, where we actually are. You'll pick up the median value of the zeitgeist and then be able to have conversations. And I do all the time. So people are saying, oh, well, you're incredibly studied and great researcher. I never researched anything in my life. But I'll say this. Setting up things like the International Tribunal, I was prescient. I knew it had to happen. Setting up the commission, because that was really in order to begin the process of investigating human trafficking and child sex abuse, which, of course, has a much deeper narrative to it, which is the life force harvesting, the plasma harvesting, the adrenochrome harvesting, and so on and so forth. So you get into the ritual satanic abuse aspect of the more mundane notion of human trafficking,
right.
You know, the kind of Jeffrey Epstein, the Victoria's Secret stuff, which is the kind of cosmetic level. When you get down into it and you're now in the basement and now you're into factory farming kids in the fucking basement, James, it gets really, really dark and no one wants to go there. Absolutely no one wants to go there. The status quo moves against you. Mainstream media will vilify, castigate you. People will throw rocks at your head. The worst kind of humans in the truth movement will call you a co-intel operative, that you're establishing the counterpoint narrative because you're part of it. It's like, oh, shut up. You know, like, what have you morons ever done other than tapped away at a computer screen in a moth-eaten armchair? So I'm kind of done with the truth movement. I'm
with you. It's been infiltrated like anything else. It's been controlled opposition or a lot of grifters. None of that interests me. I agree with you on sovereignty. I agree with you on crypto, because that's not the future is transparency. It'd be amazing if we put our government in the United States only, right? Our government at the county, state, federal level, put them on the blockchain so we can go verify things. So all the crowdsourcing people that do those TikTok can actually say, hey, have you ever reported these vaccine injuries over here? Oh, no, you haven't, right? And this would be the transparency we would need, that the crowd would actually destroy the opaque, satanic, in my opinion, government that's been leading it for a long time.
Yeah, so let's look at this, if we may. Let's look at government. Now, government doesn't in and of itself exist, okay? It doesn't exist. There's nothing there. It's an idea. So you've got this, you've got a constitution. You may as well tear that up and wipe your ass with it, because that's what's happened for the last couple of hundred years. So forget the constitution for a moment. That means nothing. It means about as much as the land patents and Genesis treaties cut with the Cherokee and the Hopi 500 years ago by the Jesuits, okay? It means nothing. So tear up those papers, those bonds, they mean nothing. Then what is government? Let's see. It is a lot of infrastructure, which has been paid for by the heisted coin of taxpayers who were mind-fucked into believing that they needed to pay taxes when actually it's unconstitutional, unlawful, illegal, and immoral. You should never pay personal income taxes under any circumstances, and there is certainly no law that requires you to do so.
Correct.
You've got codes, ordinances, and statutes which terrorize you into believing that you have to, just like that idiot at the door who wore a mask and told you you can't cross the threshold unless you wore a mask and asphyxiated yourself as well, right, during COVID. Yep. Remember those buffoons, those goons?
6 feet of separation, all of that.
Right, the little dick humans who really enjoy that little bit of power they've got because they are holding the line and none shall pass, you know. So that's just reflective of the most mundane, inane, banal kind of human being who necessarily slithers into the role as a bureaucrat or a technocrat. No disrespect to good technocrats and bureaucrats out there, and I know there are some, but in the main, and they'll be the first to agree with me, James, in the main, to become a bureaucrat and a technocrat, you have to be a pretty mindless being. You're not someone in possession of great animus. You're not a person possessed of any great mission in this life or vision. So you're not a creative. Essentially, the bureaucrat is the more androidal, mantis type, Zeta Reticulan, Draco, Theta, Orion, genetic, you know, human. And that creature likes little straight lines, tram lines. It likes boxes. It likes having its own piece of power and being able to exercise that power and to hide behind a seal of office or a badge of office or an oath of office and to have the be able to wield the power and the might of the state and the crown behind its little pen. And you see, that's the phenomenon that emerges as the technocrat or the bureaucrat. Not a very nice creature, it has to be said.
In fact, I got a 17-second video, which is going to directly back up your point. It was Maui last year, and you know they have these sign language experts next to, you know, the public speakers, right? The government officials. Yeah. Let me play this video because this is, talk about a mind F. This is pretty much it. Yeah, let's just bring on this woman, the sign language, and she looks like she's doing the devil sign. I love Kate Bush, but not for that video.
We absolutely love Kate Bush.
Yeah, she's amazing. But you know, this sign was kind of stupid, right? And then she's doing the 666 sign like this. It's like enough already. So we got these Luciferians that work in our government. That's what it appears. And wow. No surprise, is it?
So I just wanted to carry on, if you'll humor me for a few minutes, to continue architecting in the mind's eye this thing called government. What is it? So what I was suggesting is forget the spells and bonds and the papers and the treaties and the constitutions that were supposed to constitute the government because they're worthless and they mean nothing. Although they'll wield those constitutions if it suits them. But you've got a lot of infrastructure paid for by coin of the taxpayer, and you've got that infrastructure populated by the most mundane and vapid kind of human being, the most mindless and non-creative human beings, which is the bureaucrat.
Yep.
The bureaucrats have their codices, their codexes, their codes, their ordinances. They've got their statutory compliances. They are the ones who enforce and ensure the enforcement of these tram lines. And what this class of bureaucrat does is they have to earn their keep. So they have to be seen to be busy. So they have to constantly move the tumbler around on the table, confuse the hell out of people to make themselves relevant and necessary. Otherwise, they can't claim their pensions. Donald Trump was the first president that I'm aware of who came along and said, okay, I'll introduce new laws, but I'll only introduce a new law for every two laws that we take off the statute books. Now, that was a classic example of genius leadership. So what we want to do is we want to completely annihilate bureaucracy altogether. By the grace of God, if AI serves us in any way, shape, or form, it should cull the class of bureaucrat. But you've also got, in this thing called government, by extension, you've got the policing and the military infrastructure as well, which have been co-opted by government to become the centurions, the sentinels, the centurions, the Praetorian Guard that protects that diabolical technology called government. And so that technology faces its guns and its shields toward the people. It does exactly the opposite of what it's constituted to do.
Correct.
So the police and the military in that sense are facing the people. They should not. They should be facing the government on behalf of the people. And that's the bit that we've lost sight of. And we've lost sight of it because essentially, and I'm being very reductive here, but since the end of the Second World War, since the kind of 50s baby boom, and then the 1960s flower power, and then the 1970s extension of flower power and hallucinogenics and anything goes, baby, Timothy Leary land, and yep. And the 1980s, which was like individualism moving into a kind of hard social ecological science, and then the 90s became like full-fledged capitalism where we all go out and make $1 billion and become trillionaires and own yachts and jets and screw 25 Playboy bunnies. All of that was hard written into the programming that was fueling and, you know, fueling the vanguard of our social economy and social ecology. That goes into the 20s. And then, of course, the shit show begins, 9-11.
Right.
And that was really the end of the party. The end of the party and the onset of full spectrum dominance, which was written into the program by the Bush, Cheney, Brzezinski, Kissinger, Soros, satanic agenda.
Correct.
They've written that in and they began to try to begin the collection of their yield, which was to begin an orchestrated collapse of humanity, an 85% population cull, implementation of smart cities, clawback all of the wealth that had been aggregated through those billions of souls, all their creative enterprise, and all the gold and all the issue of that those generations was to be clawed back by the central banksters. So they were reclaiming farms, reclaiming land, reclaiming buildings, reclaiming everything, which is why you've got BlackRock, for instance, and you've got just two or three corporations buying, and you've got the Bill Gateses of this world. You know, don't think Gates owns any money because he doesn't. The guy's a gibbering Mandarin. Anyone can see that. And he is the utility of this devil, this Baphomet, Molochite worshiping cabal. So the corporation is one corporation, the parent corporation. It set us up for Cal, is clawing back the value. Now with the rollout of the vaccination program and this orchestration of apocalypse, now it intends to bring about catastrophic failure so that it can and will, under the smoke of war or the fog of war, bring about that harvest of humanity. So we're in that sense, we're in a very, very precipitous and dangerous time, so to speak. But the joke is on the Mysterium cult, the Babylonian priests, the Sabbateans, and the Zeta Reticulan Draco elements. The joke is on them. Why? Because I, the living man, the living son of God, the living man of the living soil, and we're all sons and daughters of God when we lay claim to that Christed mantle, I say otherwise. That's why. Because I say I am terminating the contract, no permissions granted. I invoke the power and the majesty of the angelics, and they stand sentinel behind me, behind you, behind us. We now claim dominion over this world, and we will manifest the kingdom of heaven on earth as ever we were bid to do by the Master Jesus, if you're a Christian.
Right, and we don't have to join the mandates anymore. We don't need to become part of the problem for the masses. They actually really need to wake up. 9-11 did what? It united us, right? It was part of the play. C-19 did what? Divided us, part of the play. They're always doing something with us, like you said, but it's all coming unglued and unraveled. And a lot of people like yourself are really waking up to what's going on.
So, James, for me, it comes down to one thing that's been playing on my mind for the last few weeks. So my own audience are probably sick of me dropping this, but I've been saying that the devil always plays into God's design always. And that's the way
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Think about the Book of Esther. I mean, you know, the gallows were built to hang the Jewish people, you know, her people back in the day, and they hung the gallows builders. It kind of reminds me that Starlink, I had a friend in telecom industry a long time ago. In 2000, he learned that the satellites were 90% financial, 10% communication. So the communication satellites were not communication satellites. They were part of the enslavement system. They're no longer in controlled by the World Economic Forum or NASA or any of these evil entities. They're controlled by the U.S. Space Force under Trump. That's why Space Force was created. So the weapon that was going to enslave us is going to free us, because after the financial collapse is coming, whether we go to a BRICS, you know, gold-backed currency with BRICS or whatever, those setups are meant to destroy us is going to free us. Sasha.
I suspect you're absolutely right. If your audience are hearing rumbles coming here, it's because I've got heavy building happening next door and on the plot of land next door to the offices here. And that's as a direct result of this Mayan train that's being built now in Mexico. It's a huge zillion-dollar infrastructure project to bring this high-speed railway down the Mayan Riviera and basically dial Mexico up to the next level in social economic prosperity, which it's definitely going to do. But that is being built right now by the Mexican military. So wow. The president here purposed the military to a logistical military operation, which is to build an impossibly complex railway system in an impossibly short period of time. And that's the correct use of the utility of the military. Put them to logistics, get them to build bridges, expand the engineering core of the military. You know, so I see the same thing happening in the United States. As to whether or not Trump is commander in chief, I can't say. I mean, I could
correct.
personally put up a very good argument that he is, but I can also put up a good argument that the U.S. Postmaster General is Russell J. Gould, who would necessarily lay claim, a dear friend of mine, who would naturally lay claim to being commander in chief as well. Whilst I'm on the subject, I happily tell you and your audience that the last day of my tour in 2021, I think it was.
Yep.
In the U.S., the last big tour that I did, I had ranking military in uniform speak to me.
Wow.
And speak to me after the event, take me aside and ask me the question, do you know who our commander-in-chief is? And I said, well, I think you're going to tell me it's Donald J. Trump. And they went, no, it's Russell J. Gould. And I was like, yes. And I phoned Russell and said, ranking military are in front of me telling me that they acknowledge you as the U.S. Postmaster General and Commander-in-Chief. And he said, well, I've been telling you this, Stone, for years. Why? No small surprises there.
No, I had Russell on my show a year and a half ago, just an amazing guest, calm and cool, saying a lot of the same things. You know, he's not worried about the Babylon cult. They're actually literally falling apart, and we're seeing that. So Russell's an amazing man.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed. I know that I'm working with an ace team right now in the United States on investigating the most propitious method, let's say, technique of piercing the corporate veil. And again, retrieving the land minus any invisible federal liens and ridding the living men and women altogether of any indentureship whatsoever to Washington Satanic District of Columbia, which was always a satanic Babylonian technology installed into the atom seed of the United States, flipping the good people and of the living land into trusts, and then taking control and containment of those millions and millions and millions of generational trusts. So all of that is assuredly ending now. This year, it's over. Between this summer and next summer, by my guesstimate, Bank of International Settlements, IMF, World Bank, all of that shit show comes into a bottoming out. And then, yes, of course, that is orchestrated by the World Economic Forum acolytes, who themselves are playing Babylonian chess to try to force their version of the reset without understanding the implications, the real implications of morphogenetic upshift, which is happening right now, aka the second coming.
Right. You know, the ascension, all of us who believe.
Right. Okay. And we're walking into that. What are we now? We're the 3rd of April here, James. 5 days from now, ground zero, total eclipse of the sun over North America, commandeering the seven, the trajectory of the Nineveh line, and ending in a, you know, the high point is a 4 minute, 28.1 second totality of eclipse. I'll be standing directly beneath that on a 1,000-foot mountain in the Mexican desert with a group of scientists, because we want to see why compasses are spinning on that mountain right now and why there are no radio waves that make it from one side to the other.
Yes,
it is. And what's going to happen? It's known as the zone of silence historically. It's a very, very interesting phenomenon, a bit like the Bermuda Triangle on land, one imagines. I'm quite a spookish kind of guy, so not looking forward to that kind of thing. But I still say that something is going down, and it's going down, I believe, in the 40 days of atonement, which is going to follow this total eclipse of the sun, leading us to more or less the 18th or 19th of May. And as I mentioned to General Flynn yesterday on my show, and we spoke for about 40, 45 minutes and touched on some of the subject of extraterrestrials and of, you know, cosmic events, and are these orchestrated, you know, or not. General Flynn doesn't go into the ET thing, and nor should he. He has to keep his nose clean on certain subjects.
Sure.
But for me, the 40 days of atonement and repentance is a very, very serious matter, and is written large, again, into all the different prophecy schools. I was with the Hopi very recently in Arizona. I'll be back with them next month, being taken to Prophecy Rock by them, which is a great honor. And I've been 10 days ago with the hereditary chief, Phil Lane Jr., the apocryphal eagle in the Eagle and Condor prophecies, who's now uniting all of the primary hereditary leaders of the Americas. And I was there in Powwow in the Palenque jungles for 7 days with him and the other hereditary leaders. So I'm more or less very connected in now to where prophecies are intersecting. And I'm a bit of a scholar of the Nostradamus prophecy and biblical prophecy stuff. All I can say, James, is that all the geometry seems to be coming into a zero point. And we can choose that zero point. It's either going to be our emancipation, or it's going to be the thing that terrifies us more than anything else, because it is, in that sense, the reckoning.
Right. It is a reckoning. It's a convergence point, like you said. It's interesting. All these different religions, the prophecies are really tying in together. I'm with you all the way on that. We're in very special times. We're going to be part of something fantastic, in my opinion. The dark side is literally going to have no place to hide anymore when this unveiling happens. Does the unveiling happen on the 8th of April? I can't say, but it's symbolic. Symbolic of what? Remember when Jesus hung on the cross and then the sky went dark after he died? Well, you know, eventually light came back. The rainbows remind us that God will never flood the earth again. So did Jesus die, number one, on April 8th, 2,000 years ago? I don't know. I can't say, can't prove it. But it's interesting to think about all of these events coming together, and it's a possibility.
Any true scholar of these mysteries know full well that Jesus's life and times was rewritten. Certainly, that was instituted by the Council of Nicaea in 325 to 328 AD. So we know full well that the story of Jesus has been kind of written and entrained into a kind of astro-psycho-intellectual spiritual construct that suits harvesting and harnessing the attention of fearful humans. But in the same way, the story of Siddhartha, the story of Muhammad, peace upon him, and the other great prophets, saints, and avatars have all been kind of vanillaed into one storyline. So any real scholar understands that by now, the distinction between, you know, the similarity between all of these storylines. The question, I think, James, becomes an even harder question for Christians, and I'm just going to say it here. You know, there are those who worship a dead man on a stick, and there are those who worship the living gospel, which is what the master from Nazareth urged us to do. So the idea of worshiping a dead man on a stick is an absolute abomination and a calamity as far as I'm personally concerned. It's Catholicism writ large. It is the Vatican conspiracy. It is what eventuated into war, disease, poverty, scarcity, economics, and mind control. So I think we just need to step away now from that. We need to step into the living testament, the living gospel. We need to become, as Jesus the Master bid us become, sons and daughters of God in the now, and stop looking over our shoulders and being mind-fucked by old arcane Babylonian priesthoods and their narratives.
I'm with you. So you worked at the United Nations. When do you learn about CERN?
I didn't work at the United Nations. I never took a salary or a coin. I was inveigled to work with the United Nations as a director general in the intergovernmental sector, which I elected to do. So understand, you've got the United Nations, which is Satan central, as far as I'm concerned. Then you've got IGOs and NGOs. IGO is an intergovernmental organization made up of other governments signing a treaty to be an IGO. And then you've got NGOs, which is non-governmental organization, like my foundation, Humanitat. So I came in as a non-governmental organization invited by the UN to come in and play a central role as a director general in that arena of renewable energy and breakthrough technology. What I wanted to do was to bring free energy technology in and stop the sequestration of exotic technologies in the military basement. So I was doing that 14, 15 years ago. I had a portfolio of technicians and engineers and scientists and geometers who wanted to change the world. I wanted to change the world. Dr. David Martin joined me at that time. We set up an economics policy unit in my office connected to my attempt to reroute the whole of energy technology. I try to raise a $5 billion purse from the Gulf states with Dr. David Martin on the team. We almost did raise $5 billion, and we were going to plan to use that to create a revolution in new technology innovation and segue away from the petrochemical oil and gas combustion, hot electricity technology, which was always the grip of the Rockefeller, Rothschild, globalist hegemonialists. So that was what we were attempting to do at that time, to invite the very rich, cash-rich Middle Eastern nations to step in and finance a transition from old petrodollar technology control into breakthrough innovative technology, which could take us into the vertical, take us into anti-magnetic, you know, into free energy technologies, cold electricity, cold fusion, blah, 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 blah. So that was what I was doing. I'd never worked for the United Nations. I never got coin from the United Nations. They were silly enough to invite me in. I got in, I got clearances, and I tried to stir up the soup on the inside using that IGO status, and almost got me killed, and a couple of others as well. So that was my days. I'll write a chapter on it at some point, but please don't let me ever hear anyone say I worked for the United Nations.
No, it's sort of like me when I worked at Highway Construction. I worked for a civil engineering firm. So I did not work with the local Department of Transportation in New York, New Jersey, New York, or anything like that, Pennsylvania. I also worked with the Federal Highway with them, but not for them. So again, I'm 100%, I'm glad you corrected me on that. We got about 6-7 minutes left. CERN. What are your thoughts on CERN? Are they going to open the pit to hell, or is that just more fear porn written by the CIA?
No, there's no fear porn there at all. Let's be crystal clear about this. I've been speaking about this for well over a decade. The Super Hadron Collider in CERN is, let me collect my thoughts, is the biggest infrastructural, technological, scientific, academic undertaking in the history of the world since the time of Atlantis, a construence of evil agenda within the highly compartmentalized echelon of the military-industrial complex and the idiot governments that serve the military-industrial complex by fleecing the people of the world of their tax dollars in order to finance these satanic objectives. And the objective of Super Hadron Collider, CERN, is to pierce the veil in such a way as to prevent the ascension process of humankind, whilst at the same time eliciting into the 3D temporal field lower archonic elemental forces, which can then repopulate and thereby change the frequency of the temporal realm in order to keep us anchored into another cycle of time. So it is a big chess game being played out, smashing atoms to find the God particle with no clear objective in sight, And let's not forget, James, many years ago, almost 10 years ago, I think by now, that poor chap working in CERN who had a very important presentation the following day and decided to sleep in the office overnight, which he did, slept in his office overnight, woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning to hear some very scary sounds, and crept to the window, looked out of his window into the CERN courtyard, and there saw a satanic sacrificial ritual taking place with hooded deviants. Yep. And he filmed that from his office, and it was terrifying. And that happened on the statue of Shiva that, for some extraordinary reason, best known to the progenitors of CERN, had been built into the courtyard of the CERN headquarters. So that wasn't happenstance. That happened, and there was forensic evidence of ritual Satanism and sacrifice taking place. No, this is high Wicca witchcraft taking place in the heartland of Europe, financed by the sacrificial lamb, which is you and I.
That is absolutely incredible. So let's talk about your big announcement. You don't have to break it here. I don't need you to break it here. But talk about where it's going to take place and what it might be. So you be as general as possible.
I'll give you a hint. There was a land long ago,
yep,
known to the Cherokee, and it was a mustering ground, a place known as Tanasi, T-A-N-A-S-I. I'll leave it at that.
That is amazing. So are you going to be in a particular state in the U.S.? Are you going to have a conference around it or just a press release?
I'm about to kick off on a 10 or 12 date social tour. I'm just planning to come and meet my own community and Lazarus Initiative members, people connected to my community, and meet and greet and throw my arms around my beloved fellows. My family is America, is the, yep, the fellowship in Middle America. If you've got a pitchfork, a Bible, or a gun, you're my kind of human.
I am with you completely, Sasha. Anything else you'd like to close out with?
I'm very happy to perform a soft shoe shuffle for you over there. I have my sarong on, though, so be warned. It might turn off your audience. I'm all good. Thank you, Dave.
No, that's great, Sasha.
One thing. I'd like you to just bring to the attention of your audience the New Earth Pharmacy, because this is the great work I've been doing. And, you know, this is partly why I'm also out there to light a fire on that. You may have heard or may not have heard, but about a year and a half ago, I was pulled in by five-star military brass in Romania to meet with a top microbiologist who had cracked the code on how to grow antigens to every disease on Earth. And I've been working subsequently with that team of scientists, and we've got the spike protein and weaponized E. coli neutralizing formula in one capsule, which eradicates the factory and the human gut that is manufacturing endogenously the so-called spike proteins and the so-called weaponized E. coli, because it is weaponized E. coli and the so-called spike protein replication that is causing these deaths and morbidities and fatalities with vax injury and transfection is the most serious threat we've ever faced as a species. And for me, getting out the newearthpharmacy.com, pharmacy with an F, is the most important work right now, so that people can access those microbiological formulas, take them, and walk themselves out of serious transfection and vax injury.
One more time for the audience. New Earth Pharmacy with an F as in farm.
Yeah, I don't know if you can read that there. Oh, it's probably back to front. So
yep,
it's, yes.
Got it.
Did you see it? It's the
yeah, yeah, I'll put it in the show link so the people can find it very easy. So when they go watch the show, they can click on it and go right there, Sasha.
Very good. So it's thenewearthpharmacy.com. Pharmacy is spelled with an F for farm. And that's because we work on a farm, in our laboratories on a farm, for good reason.
Wonderful, Sasha. In Christ, peace. Love you. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, brother. Much love.
Yep. Bye.